Okay, end of war. So, my conceptual or general here, the people there in leadership positions, should be picked from and inspired by, I mean, the characters. These modern, I mean, you could say deep state leaders in the USA. There should be this state, this country they're calling itself the Empire. Where they elect presidents, but where this is just a show. And where we find just a little further back in the deeper in there, in Washington or whatever it will be. You know, these bureaucrats, young, cocky intellectuals who are all woke and this and that, idealists who are then in turn, of course, used by the big businesses, lobby, this and that, and the religious lobbies, and the ethnic this and that. And we follow how they, you know, they sit there, they grew up very protected in a little world on their own, Harvard or whatever, and they made their career. and yeah, so we can show how these, you know, the absurd, how to say, the absurd situation there when such people actually find themselves holding the power over an empire. Over a huge, super powerful nuclear, yeah, superpower. And how dangerous that is. Because they are just kids, they're young. They were born, you know. Well, they're Generation X or even later, Millennium Generation. And they know, you know, the world through the Hollywood movies. They don't even read books. I mean, serious. Books where you can learn about history and ancient, well, wisdom also about how to run nations, you know, all that statesmanship. Because their history goes back to their domestic war, and the rest of it is just modern, you know. Yes, we are great, you know, we finished off that little country over there, you know, that proxy war. Fair that they are used to, and that makes them think themselves great, because we are so smart, we're not fighting even. Well, sometimes we send our heroic soldiers to a distant country somewhere to defend democracy and freedom in the world and all of that. But really, they come there to those little countries after having been thoroughly performing their PR campaigns to have the entire Western world, at least, cheering them on as the great strongest, toughest defenders of freedom, human rights, democracy, that kind of thing. And you know, when they come there with their super duper weapons and air power and naval power, against which those little not very militarily developed countries stand no chance. But here they came up against who they thought was a former superpower, a weak, but they suddenly find themselves standing against a coalition of superpowers who do not want to fight, but who are just saying, stop, we don't accept you as the emperor of the world. We never agreed on that. It was just your idea. So now please give up that idea. Mind your own business and leave us in peace to mind our own. But now it starts to get into the minds of those bureaucrat kids, right? And ladies, you know, who, hey, things should be, I know this is not right, they shouldn't be able to do that. They, you know, if they don't follow what we say, then they are still dictators and tyrants and whatever. We have to fight for freedom. In this case, you over there in that other country, you had to fight for freedom. And then, well, they get pulled into it themselves, of course, and the whole thing just escalates out of control. And we can follow those kids there, you know, that whoever the president is, yeah, could be a Kamala Harris type, you know, middle-aged lady, ambitious, idealistic, and so on, but actually not at all experienced in statesmanship or even educated in it. So these people are standing there. I don't know how they handle that. And we can look at Zelensky. He's a bit of that kind, an actor having to suddenly not just pretend to be, act as a president, which he has no experience or knowledge about, but also in the middle of what starts to look like a world war, as a major leader, you know, and the role that Hitler and Churchill were in. But he is completely bewildered, and he has no idea he now takes over and becomes the chief of command of the army and everything, kicking out the generals. I'm gonna do this. And then he is powered by those kids there in the West. And we just show it the way it is now. But we can go down into the psychology of those people. Well, you know, we've got this story about the shoemaker who suddenly became a king. And declared all the money should be made of leather. And we can show how these kids are so unqualified. But how then, when you are just given a lot of money or a lot of power especially, how difficult it is to avoid getting sucked into that illusion of being someone great, you know, and probably an incarnation of Churchill or, you know, something like that. Charles the Great, you know, something, maybe his name is Charlie. Then, you know, as so we show his or her or their lives from within those nice, you know, offices, Oval Office and whatever, where whatever country or context we put this in, I mean, national context, we can invent our own. World just for this, so we don't have to put it exactly in existing countries on this planet. Well, yeah, well, we can do that, but then, you know, give it some other name similar just to make it completely obvious, but keeping it a kind of fake fantasy novel. So anyway, then we show how difficult it is, how challenging it is, and how much problem it can make to all of a sudden get a whole load of money in your lap, what to speak of a whole load of power. Power over, as it seems, as they think, the world. So they sit there and they think they have power over the world. And if someone doesn't follow, you know, their benign advice or intervention, then sorry, but we have to do a preemptive strike here or something, or a color revolution. So they're not so used to that. They just follow the recipe, so to speak, convinced that it would work each time. But then, for instance, one color revolution doesn't work. And then we can follow the people down there in the country. But that is being carried out, and you can learn about that too, color revolutions. But we, but we get into their minds, their hearts, you know, their, what's happening inside those people. They're actually small and feeling completely out of place, and you can feel pity for them, but they can't get out of it. And they are also struggling there, the extra struggle with that illusion of greatness, and you know, how they are being treated by the people of their country as the savior and the great one. You can have the president there sitting like that, and the others are more invisible, the ones who really carry the power. And you know, they can kick out the president if they want. And they have sold themselves to the big businesses, who easily can bribe them. And you know, the bribes now, they don't look like bribes. They're just benefits, and you are such a good leader here, you deserve that salary or that gift. Look in your bank account, what happened? Wow. Are you kidding? No. If I'm grateful to someone, then I show it. And this is my way of showing gratitude, friendship. You know, you can make it like that. But actually, then they are controlled by that person, those persons. And if they try to go against them, when they come in and say, you know, push the button, then if they don't, then they are... Well, maybe someone tries to stop it and he or she is dead. Poof. And by now, everyone who is intelligent and who can still think for themselves, they are starting to see, my goodness, this that used to be the land of the free and the democratic and free speech and this and that has now become basically a totalitarian state controlled by someone. It seems to be that no matter who we vote for in the elections, those are just fake. You know, so there's a whole movement up against all that, and they realize that we need to free ourselves, free our minds first, and that we can always do, even if they lock us up. That's the great power we have. So this whole movement, the awares, is there. And then we, you know, we find there our lady, the fair lady, who we learned about from the beginning as member of some dubious hacker group. They call themselves, you know, mind hackers. Mm-hmm. Well, they work digitally, socially, whatever. Now they come in and you've got this entire underground system there with members of that awareness group, of course, under cover, you know, hiding behind avatars and masks and all that, are out there and have been there for a long time, teaching you helping you to become aware of what's actually going on. And there you've got one YouTube channel there, an old one called Inside Looking Out, for instance, and others. So the reader of this book, or the watcher of this film or series, can then find another world there connected to the story. And there's a game too that connects to this story, and you find this and that connecting to each other. Not as someone, you know, who made a movie and wanted to make, or made a book and wanted to make more money by making a movie too. But as part of a story that is simply told this way. So the story sips out, creeps out into the society, out of the book, out from the screen, and you will find, you will understand if you're smart enough. That the action in that story is an allegory. But it's about the world we find ourselves in now, or found ourselves in if this book is getting outdated, or this story, then it's an historical document. How about that?